All right, welcome everybody to the second episode of the Sports Stooges podcast. As always, I'm your host, Sports Guy Jason. And this week, I am being joined by a guest known as K-Pasa Supremo, Marco from Iowa, one of the co-hosts of the Anomalies podcast, and all-around great dude. Tell everybody where they can find you.
I'm on Twitter at K-Pasa Supremo. I got that nickname thanks to one Pat McAfee, which is why how I became Marco in Iowa and how we created our podcast, but we can get into that later. And then I think on Instagram it's elguapo1321.
Yeah, I'm never even on Instagram. I have one, but it's the only app I use less than that is TikTok.
I can see TikTok videos and they're sent to me, but I don't even have the app.
Too old for that one. Too old.
I feel that. I'm on TikTok, though, one of Bree's videos. I'm sure you've seen it, where I fell asleep at one of the biggest UFC fights of all time. No big deal.
No big deal at all. UFC 266 and just napping out.
Just Robbie Lawler and Nick Diaz, number two. No big deal.
Not at all. I'm sure they'll fight a third one soon, right? Nick Diaz fights all the time.
every other week he's in there. Nate's been chirping quite a bit. He definitely wants that fight with Dustin Poirier, man.
Yeah, and then this Dana today on or yesterday, he was talking to Brett Okamoto, and he's just out there with that nonsense. Oh, he'll get a fight. We're booked all the way to May. It's like, no, you just made Colby and
Masvidal
like 2 weeks ago. You could have put that card on 270, that fight on 271. You just tell the public what you're doing. You're holding Nate back for the trilogy with Connor. Like, it's his last fight on his contract. You want to make sure you make as much money off of him you can in case he doesn't resign.
You think that's what's happening?
Oh, it's 100% what's happening. They told him Ariel Helwani said that if he would have signed a and one for the bout agreement with Poirier, it would have been on the February card. That's the only reason it didn't happen is because he went signed a one fight extension.
Oh.
So and again,
I'm so out of the loop right now.
If you're a businessman, I get that, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you're in the business of making money, but don't sit there and act like you're booked
such
up
a huge draw. I mean, both the Diaz brothers are such a huge draw. I could see where Dana would want to maximize his profit on, you know, if you can get one, I mean, get two.
Oh, and again, maybe come off of some of that, pay these guys more than 15% of the take. You know, give them a little of the crypto.com sponsorship money.
Yeah, it's always been an issue. And then the prices of the pay-per-views went up. I didn't on a loop because I got a job now, so I can't get caught up on so much stuff anymore. So I don't really understand what is going on.
I'm the same boat. I'm working mostly 10 to 7, so I'm not as tuned in as I normally am. But we do have a huge UFC coming up this weekend.
Yeah,
Not that I know that I'm not shelling out $75 for it, but, you know.
How'd you like to be the referee in this fight?
Amazingly enough, and you're obviously talking the main event, Ngannou versus Gone. I don't think it's going to be that violent of a fight.
Had a really boring fight with
Ngannou.
Oh, yeah, it was Ngannou.
Yeah, they both kind of just were afraid of each other, so. And Lewis won the 29-28 decision, just kind of barely hitting. I don't think it's that. I think it's that Gon is just so much faster and a more technical striker. He'll be able to keep it outside.
So it's speed versus strength?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the classic heavyweight, Matt. Well, not the classic. It used to be power versus grappler at the heavyweight division. But, yeah, speed versus strength.
Remember the third time that Tim Sylvia and Andrei Arlovski fought? What a fucking snooze fest, man.
The heavyweight fights are one of two ways, right? They're either just epic or awful. There's no in the middle at all.
I liked watching Kane. Kane was fun. Brock was fun, for better or worse on each side. I got to see him fight Heath Herring when he punched him across the ring. I got to be there for that.
That's the thing with Brock is he was just such a massive human. It was just
it was just as crazy in person as it was on film. Watching it. It was it's crazy to see a grown man punch another grown man across the ring like
that. Yeah. It's one thing when you pull a, a Matt Serra or a Hamzat did it more recently where you just pick the dude up and walk him clear across the cage to a spot and drop him. But to knock a guy across the octagon, that's still one of the most impressive things I've ever seen.
It was cool.
Particularly when you're talking to another huge human. It's not like he's, knocking around a 155er or anything.
What's your one, like, if you could have been there for one moment in MMA history, what do you think you wish you would have seen?
One
moment or one fight.
Strikeforce, Nick Diaz versus Paul Daly.
Okay.
That was pure 5 minutes of insanity. Pure 5 minutes of insanity.
I think the one moment that I've probably seen it more than anything else ever is Rampage and Ricardo Arona when he picked him up over his head when he was in the triangle and he slammed him. So, like, that one moment was so crazy. But also, like, when was it Vandalay and Chuck when he just left him hanging, bleeding from his face, from his head, hanging in the ropes? Like, that was such a violent fight.
I miss those old pride fights. Old pride
fights.
Out there in a ring, 10-minute first rounds. Yeah. Oh, it was just something else. The Nick Diaz versus Takanori Gomi.
Mm-hmm.
Like, both of those guys going in round two were back just so exhausted. Mayhem Miller
was at his peak.
Oh, you could bring up Mayhem Miller with Nick Diaz. Of course, there's always the Nashville mm-hmm. Strikeforce brawl.
Yep. That was crazy.
You don't get much of that anymore in modern MMA. It's too polished, too much Khabib, money to be made.
Because Khabib and Conor, that was nuts, though.
Yeah, that was a little different. Dan here, young, one of the guys from the Pat McAfee Facebook group. Dan Henderson knocking out Michael Bisping. They played that up well for us, U.S. versus U.K., too.
That was an awesome, awesome knockout. Yeah, I hate Michael Bisping, so.
Now, see, I like Bisping.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He grew on me. I think everybody starts out not liking him, but he grows on you.
Bree's a huge fan. I can't.
I think when he knocked out, what's his name? Kind of semi-retired jeans model now.
Luke Rockhold?
Rockhold. Yeah. That's when it turned around for me, because I really hated Luke Rockhold. I just too arrogant.
He was, I don't know, but he had the right to be. Like, he was a good enough fighter. He's banging Demi Lovato.
I don't know if I'd brag about that anymore.
At the time, it was a good thing.
Yeah, that was before she went full crazy.
Yeah, well, don't they all?
That's another day. But he was on top of the world there for a while. But yeah, Rockhold was just never a guy I liked.
Oh, I was there when Matt Mitrione beat Fedor in Madison Square Garden. I was there for that.
That would have been a cool moment. I mean, even though, it's obviously Fedor towards the end of his run now, there's just still something about Fedor.
His walkout was incredible. It, like, the garden went all black, and then it was just like a lot of red. It was almost like the devil was coming out. It was cool, man, to see Fedor come out. It was a chilling moment to be in that arena.
And he's just been such a bigger than life presence over mixed martial arts for so long. It's kind of sad to think he's coming to the end now.
Tito was in the crowd watching the fights, and at one point in time, they're all Cheeto or Tito sucks. Tito sucks.
I don't know how anybody was a Tito Ortiz fan. I hated
Tito.
Like, his personality was awful. He boring fights.
Yeah,
there's just nothing enjoyable about him. He ducked Chuck Liddell for as humanly long as possible, and rightfully so. By the way, he knew he was outclassed when Chuck was in his prime. Had to fight
a
47-year-old Chuck to get a win.
Yeah,
he should be embarrassed by that.
Did you know that all three of those guys? I'm sure you've seen they're all Chuck, Tito, and Randy Couture were all in the same movie together.
No, I haven't seen that movie.
Cradle to the Grave with Jet Li and DMX.
Oh, Okay.
There's a...
I guess I didn't notice they were all in that.
There's a cage fighting scene, and then he has to actually fight all three of them at the same time. Imagine that.
No, I don't want to imagine that, because I wouldn't survive.
Yeah.
Not at all. That's craziness. And then, you know, US 270, the co-main event, is the one I'm excited for. Mm-hmm. Moreno versus Figueiredo.
The Lego Master.
He's become... You know, forever you heard 125 was boring. Nobody, you know, the little guys weren't marketable. Nah, you just needed somebody people who could relate to. I mean, yeah. DJ was just so dominant for so long that nobody, it made it impossible to anybody see him losing. And Figueiredo, I'm not sure how long he sticks around at 125. He's a big 125er. He's a
good boy.
And this week he is looking cut already before he's even started cutting weight. He looks ready to go, but
I think if he loses this one, he'll probably go up.
Yeah, it's a weird trilogy, and I know it wasn't the original plan because I know whoever they wanted Moreno to face next wasn't ready, which I never understand. If you're number one contender, how are you not ready for a title shot? Like,
right?
You know, that's your whole job. Be ready, but
always or stay ready.
Yeah. You know, you can be ready on 11 days notice and shoot from being a 20-20 guy to a guy who's making $250,000 plus pay-per-view points to show up. Yeah. In the case of Nate Diaz, you know, should always be ready even on your worst day.
Yeah.
That sport. But yeah, I think Moreno wins. I think the first fight was so close, you know, I think they're so similar. And again, I think a hard weight cut's going to take a lot out of Figueiredo. You know, if you're that cut, I think it's going to be hard to cut down.
I wish that they would do away with that. You know, I wish they would do it. Doesn't one do like the water test or, you know, water cuts or whatever?
Yeah, the hydration testing.
Right. There we go. Hydration testing.
Yeah, and they weigh you, you know, weigh you every day, fight week. Mm. So that way you can't suddenly go from 130, you know, 130. Well, they are 10 pounds heavier, so 145 to 135. You know,
yeah,
you have to think
about John Jones at like at light heavyweight. I'm sure they said what he weighs in at 205, but by the time he fought, he was 225.
Right.
24 and he hours.
Thinks, yeah, that's you know, and you see it with some of these guys who are particularly in that 155, 170, 185 range where they start skipping 15 pounds, where they end up in between weight classes, so they end up going up, but now they're small.
Or Connor, man, when he got down, that was gross.
145, Connor was just looked sick. One side of death.
Yeah, he was, but damn, was he good. When he's good, man.
Yeah, I mean, well, and Max Holloway was that way for a while. I mean, there were some of his fights where they just scratched the fight.
With when he was trying to fight Khabib on short notice.
And that was just to make 55.
Yeah.
And they had to scrap one of the Khabib-Tony fights because Khabib couldn't make weight without basically killing himself. It's like, I think that's the only thing that's going to get the UFC to change is have a fighter die week of a fight from weight cuts because they've been through too much. Yeah. You know, they've had too many fighters fail out, consistently miss weight. It's like, you know what? There's two answers. You either go to the hydration weight cut, you know, hydration test and weigh them the full week before the fight, or you go NCAA wrestling style where they weigh you day of the fight.
Right.
Like, hey, you fight in 2 hours here. Step on the scale. You're not going to have time to rehydrate.
Right.
In any meaningful way.
And isn't that directly linked to concussions? Is like severe dehydration to the brain?
It's part of it. I mean, now the NCAA wrestling, it all came about because when they had their extreme weight cutting, they were having people die. And then they were, you know, it was also when creatine use was really popular amongst NCAA wrestlers. So it kind of, you know, it's a, was it the weight cutting? Was it the creatine? Was it the creatine with the weight cutting?
Yeah. Well, I never understood what creatine actually does.
It's, I'm not a good enough explainer of it. Obviously,
cool.
You look at my big fat stooge self, you can tell I'm not taking the supplement market by storm. But it's something, you know, all of those heavy workout guys use. So here, I've got Google right here. I guess we can always do that, right?
I wonder if it's like a recovery thing or like a building thing.
I think it's a building thing.
Oh, okay.
Because
I never did any of the, I have friends that did, like, was it DECA or something? The steroids?
Oh. Yeah, that was a popular one.
It wasn't
one
during high school, but it was after, like, when they were trying to put on muscle. I had some friends that went through that. It was just never, I was never that motivated, I guess. I was like, I couldn't take steroids because then I would actually have to do the workout.
Yeah, so it's supposed to help muscle mass and bursts of strength.
Okay,
so
that makes sense.
Yeah, I can see why somebody would be interested in that. But yeah, so that was ultimately why the NCAA had to change something. You start having college kids die. You're like,
yeah, it's scary.
We're not gonna try to explain to these parents. And again, it's, you know, wrestling's not a popular enough sport. It's not a revenue generator. It is here. Well, I mean, it is, but it's still not a revenue generator.
Oh yeah, no, but like the, you know, a lot of that happened here. I mean, Iowa is like the mecca for college wrestling. You know, and there was a lot of stuff that happened like that, especially back in the 80s. I remember hearing about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Iowa, you're talking a good half of your Olympic wrestlers come from Iowa.
Right.
So yeah. But I think the rest of the card is pretty weak on 270 outside of those first two, though. Because you get to Michelle Paella, who he's entertaining, but to me, he's a prelim guy still. He's not beating anybody of note. Versus Andre Fajilio.
Right.
You got Habib's cousin, Syed.
Cousin. Oh, I thought it was his brother. Okay, it's cousin.
It's his cousin. He's up and down in performance-wise versus Cody Stamann, who's, you know, it's a decent fight at
bantamweight. It sounds like this should be like an ESPN 2 card. The two main events.
Well, and that's the thing you're running into with this and 270, you know, one. You know, outside of the main event, they're really not good cards, and then you want $75 per card for pay-per-view. It's like, when's enough?
Right.
You know, because not only are you paying $75, but then you're down to, you have to subscribe to ESPN Plus.
Right.
And it's just nickel and dime. It's like, you're in the biggest growth opportunity for your sport, and you're just trying to just wring out every dollar instead of grow it even bigger.
I can't complain because I just had to sign up for Discovery Plus because being that I got this new job doing the floor sales, I have to watch the now formerly known as DIY Network is now the Magnolia Network. Do you know about this?
I just saw it the other day. I was like,
yeah.
Wait, what? Like, for a while there, they're like,
familiar to anyone, the show Fixer Upper, the Joanna and Chip Gaines. I have to put her name first because she's the boss.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
Like, they own the DIY channel now. It's called the Magnolia Network. So, anyways, they're on Discovery Plus. And then, so we've been watching a lot of Fixer Up shows just because I could get inspired to maybe give people ideas or just for ourselves because we want to do some stuff around the house. But
And flooring sales in general is trends, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely trends.
I've been doing it 8 years. Yeah, you started out, everybody wanted hardwood. Right. Then they started wanting laminate. Now everybody wants vinyl plank, but they don't just want vinyl plank. It's got to be, you know, light gray and aged. And,
yep.
You know, we want to build a farmhouse look. It's like,
that's exactly what this lady said when she came in. It was earlier this week. She said, I want an old barn wood looking floor.
It's just like, okay, I got you.
Here's about it.
19 options. Take your pick. Mm-hmm. Everybody makes one.
Yep.
That's for sure.
It's crazier because we also have like ceramic tile and backsplash and all the stuff for showers. So it's cool for me because I got to expand on my knowledge of stuff, and it's cool to see what's new and what's fresh. As far as you work in the same field.
Yeah, tile is constantly new stuff. Every time I turn around, it's. The big one for me was when all the tiles started looking like wood. It's like, okay, this is too much, guys. Like,
oh, but we get the heated floors too, and those are awesome. If you have the money to buy a heated floor, if you're ever doing, you have to.
We have a pop-in guest in the comments from over on the Off the Rails podcast with Tone and Gems. Jim's letting us know the fun fact that Marco is taller than you would think. I don't know. He's about exactly as tall as I would have thought the first time I met him.
I'm 6 foot.
Right.
But I think, I don't know if it's because I'm Mexican, because Mexicans are traditionally short, but a 6 foot Mexican with blondish hair and blue eyes, that I think is shocking.
Yeah, that's that Spanish blood in there.
Yeah. Actually, I did get my sister got one of those ancestry things. I'm definitely, I got some Irish, some, I don't know, it's all over the place.
And then he throws in a pun just for fun.
Two.
You are an anomaly there, aren't you?
Yeah.
But, yeah, as I say, I think if anybody takes those tests, they're going to find you're a little mix of everything at this point. Anybody who thinks they're pure blood anything is just crazy.
Right.
But I'm got a little too much Dale Gribble in me to take one of those tests. Yeah. Sorry, not giving that to the government. Not my DNA, not voluntarily. The prelims look pretty bad, to be fair. I mean, I'll watch them.
I thought those were all the prelims that you were just telling me about.
No, that was still the main card.
Oh, all right.
The prelims is really bad. Like, you have a good, decent featherweight bout with Ilya Topuroff versus Charles Jourdain. But other than that, nothing of note. There's a couple of welterweights and a bantamweight bout of zero note. Then you got a couple of fun ones on the early prelims somehow. Of course, it's more like deep MMA Twitter stuff, but like in the women's strawweight, you have Silvania Juarez on the early prelims, and then Matt Frivola, who's kind of an up-and-comer in the men's lightweight division. And then my favorite MMA Twitter fighter, Kay Hansen. Her Twitter is
awesome. Amazing. I follow her Twitter also.
She's got quotes from Jesus on her Twitter as she just almost exclusively posts hocking her OnlyFans. Like,
yeah,
you do you. Like, but come on.
Yeah.
You can't have Jesus and OnlyFans in the same mix. It's perfect, though. It's just right up my alley.
It's like Christian Mingle. Like, I'll be honest with you, and this should come as no shock to anyone at all, but I would find chicks on Christian Mingle, and I am not of Christian faith. But, you know, it all works out.
She
has plenty of fans, and I'm sure some of them are also into her quotes.
I just can't imagine spending money for OnlyFans at all. It's like,
we don't have to, because Paige Van Zandt has one that's not OnlyFans. She just has it on her own page, which I haven't had a chance to check out yet. But
I don't know. There's enough free content on the internet. I'm not paying for anything anymore. I don't understand. Like, why would you pay for anything? It's free on the internet. Pretty much anything you want.
Yeah, including, you know, fights if you have the right VPN.
Right VPN? I don't even need the right one. Just
You're right.
But again, they aren't coming after the end user anyways. They're coming after the people posting it out there.
But right. We won't advocate $75 a pop. I mean, we need something.
Yeah, I ain't shelling out, you know, that almost $1,000 by the time I pay for ESPN Plus and 12 to 13 pay-per-views a year. It's like, not going
to happen. I hate to be that guy, but, man, I remember it was like one every 3 months, but they were so stacked. Like, go back and look at any two-digit UFC. Like, they were all just great, great fights.
Those cards will never be duplicated.
Yeah,
it's less is more, right?
Yeah.
If you try to have less pay-per-views, but make, you know, again, if you did one per quarter, I wouldn't mind shelling out $75 if you had, you know, three title fights and two huge names on there, you know, right, that made it interesting. It's like, okay, that's worth my money.
Yeah. I mean, there was a day when, like, you know, Dominic Cruz was on the prelims, and then, like, because there were so many good fights on the main card.
I mean, the amount of fighters who have fought either Nick Diaz, Robbie Lawler one was, I think, the first fight of the night the first time they fought. That's, you know, yeah. I mean, they were younger guys, but still.
19, I think. Well, at Robbie, point, I think, was 19.
Yeah, I mean, and I think Nick was 20.
Yeah,
they're within a year of each other. But, I mean, even by then, they were name enough guys to, you know, where it was more, just how stacked the card was versus, you know, where their standing was. And now it's just like half the time you're going to have a fight that, you know, people don't even know who's fighting. You know, it's UFC 266 or even, was it 262 that Nate fought on? You know, where he was the feature bout, you know, the third from the end of the night.
Oh, those, yeah.
Those are going to be the rare cards anymore. Where you're going to have somebody who could essentially headline their own pay-per-view be in the middle of the card.
Yeah.
And yet then we get UFC 271 with see, I want to see the whole card now. Because they scrapped all the title fights to put on Colby and Masvidal. And I have no interest in that fight, by the way. It just doesn't even interest me at all.
So I guess the real question is, are they still like secretly friends and they're just doing this for the money? Or do they really actually now hate each other?
I think it's still just for show. There was a point where I would have thought that you weren't going to get that kind of behavior out of Masvidal, and then you started to realize, no, he's just a character too. When you really compare him to early him, like, he's just a character now, and it's bad. And Colby's already let everybody in that he's honest. It's like, this is what I had to do to not get cut from the UFC.
Same with Chael. Chael was the same. He tells that story all the time. He goes, they were getting ready to cut me, and that's why he created this whole thing with Anderson Silva.
Yep.
Which worked.
Right.
And he was winning for four and a half rounds.
Still breaks my heart. Even when I know it's coming on replay, it still breaks my heart.
I had Anderson, so I was so happy, man. I was in a house full of Chael fans, and I was the only Anderson fan, and they would not stop talking shit to me. And then finally, Anderson pulled off that triangle, and I could not stop talking to them. Oh, it was just great.
I mean, granted, Chael would have got to keep the belt anyways, because then he failed the post-fight drug test.
Well, it happens. But,
you know, that's back then in that era, MMA, that was pretty common compared to now.
Right.
So, yeah, that was just part and parcel. And I'm a betting man. I love that sports betting is now legal in Indiana. So if I'm going to give two suggestions for UFC 270. Take Gon by points and Figueiredo by submission, or Moreno by submission. Those two will make you some decent money come Saturday. You can even look up the odds on FanDuel real quick.
You think Gon's got him, huh? You think he'll pull off a decision?
I do. That's, you know, we saw it with the first Stipe fight. If you can be patient with Francis, you can outlast him.
Yeah, you be know? Able to duck, though.
Gon moves really well. Not a little well, really well. And he's not going to fall into the trap of saying, hey, I think I've got you hurt. Let me come rushing in blindly like Stipe did in the rematch and get
clipped. Remember that happened with Pat Barry and Chet Congo?
That's a fight. Oh, I still watch that replay from all the time. Like, how, first off, that is perfect reffing. And why, you know, if for some of these guys who complain that these refs let these fights go on too long, like, I mean, these are professional fighters. You got to let them fight some. You know,
that
you can't. Fight,
that the ending of the, if you're listening to this, please YouTube Pat Barry and Chet Congo. That was the craziest ending to a fight I've ever seen in my entire life.
Congo should have been out like four times.
He was out four times.
It would have been easy to be like, yeah, we're going to wave this off. No, he's good. And then I'm not going to ruin it for you. Go check it out. It's amazing. But yeah, so Moreno by submission is plus 300. Okay. And Gon by decision is plus 300 as well. So those are both nice little odds.
So what's a parlay on those guys?
Yeah. And again, all of this is on FanDuel. So if you're betting elsewhere, you know, the odds will be a little different. Well, hey. I own plenty of Penn Gaming stock. Feel free to bet on Barstool Sportsbook if you'd like. I just still have funds on FanDuel. So if you take both by, if you take them, Gon by points and Moreno by submission is plus 1,500.
Ooh.
So that's a nice little option.
So I feel like to look into that.
And then I've got a nice little parlay set up for the divisional round weekend. I put the all underdog parlay. So if you take the Bengals, Niners, Rams, and Bills, that was plus 3422. And I could actually see that happening this weekend. I could make a case for all four of those teams to win.
All right. Are you going to do that now, or are you just saying you could?
I already put it in. I've locked it in.
All right.
I'm locked in on that one. I put it in.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look into this.
I think Cincinnati's offense is too explosive for Tennessee, and I don't think Tennessee's defense is that good. So even though having Derrick Henry back will help, I'm not sure it's a A-plus one. No. I don't think it's as easy as people think it is for Tennessee there. And there's just always something about Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs. Like, I don't think it doesn't get talked about as much. Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs is always comes up a little short, you know. Good, bad, or otherwise, for some reason, he had one Super Bowl appearance and win early in his career, and since then is just not been able to get over the playoff hump. So, and he's lost to the 49ers the last three times they've played in the playoffs. So, I like to call that a little bit of a trend.
I unfortunately had to watch Aaron Rodgers beat my Browns. But it was cool to see him break the record. It just happened to be against us.
Oh, that's right. You were there in person, weren't you?
I was there for that.
In the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Yes.
So what was that experience like?
It was cool. A lot of Browns fans showed up. Packer fans were a lot nicer than I expected. That was actually my first NFL game ever. And it was on Christmas Day. And it was a lot of fun until it wasn't, but I like that place. I think that I highly recommend that if you're a Packers fan, go to a game. But if your team is playing against them in Green Bay, it's worth going to check out.
Yeah, so I've never been to an NFL game. Living in the middle of Indiana, it's hard to find time to get to a Steelers game. And if I'm going, I'm going to Heinz Field. Like, if I'm going to Steelers game, I'm waving my terrible towel while they're playing Renegade. Otherwise, it just isn't a Steelers game.
That makes sense. I'm sure I'll make my way to Cleveland. That's on the docket for us, I think, this year.
Cleveland, I still don't understand how one becomes a Browns fan. It's just such a miserable existence.
It's my guy. It's Baker.
Or you did it?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so. I think he just had a surgery. I think it was yesterday. And I just really feel good. I feel like if he's going to take the time and heal up, I think next year is another playoff run, at least.
The blind optimism. Browns fans are almost.
Hey, you guys are done. What are you going to do? You don't have a quarterback.
I've been through this before. We went to the
Super Bowl. Yeah, but like 20 years ago.
We went to the Super Bowl with Neil O'Donnell before. I'm okay with it. I mean, once he got there, he forgot who he played for and started throwing to some DB on Dallas
that he's ever heard of before. Who's going to be your quarterback, your starting quarterback next year?
I think next year will be a year like the Patriots did last year where they kind of take a punt
year. So Cam Newton?
Not specifically Cam Newton, but I would say My biggest guess is still Mason Rudolph because he's in house, he's under contract.
Okay. I'm sure Miles Garrett's glad to hear that one.
And he'll give you another year to spend some, because we've got almost with our rollover money like somewhere between $42 and $50 million in cap space going into the off season before we even get to any of the cuts we can make to open up more space. So I think they're going to punt. The other options are going to be guys like trading for like a guy like Gardner Minshew. Or something along those tiers. I think the Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilsons aren't going to happen. The Steelers just historically have never spent, you know, given away draft capital in bulk to get one.
Do you draft one? Do you think you draft one high?
Not this draft.
No.
I don't think so. I think if the kid Malik from Liberty falls to the second round, they may take a look just because they like his mobility and his big arm. But I think, again, it's our GM's last draft, most likely because he's talking like he's going to retire. But they've never reached for a quarterback. They've always just kind of let him fall. I've lived through the Bubby Brister and Mike Tomczak years too. So I know that just as an organization, it's not something where they're not going to Browns it, where they just take a quarterback every other year and hope eventually after 20 we get one right.
This is like my fourth year in a row with Baker, all right? Just calm down.
Yeah, but he's still like, they've been in. I wanted to look, and I forgot before this episode, to take a look of a list of every Browns quarterback since 2004.
That's a long list.
Just to see how many the Browns had in the Ben Roethlisberger era. And yeah, it's huge. And again, it's not just that it's a long list. It's all the guys they have drafted over the years, you know. What's the kid from Oklahoma State that they drafted that was the same year they drafted Trent Richardson? It was like 26.
I don't go back that far.
I can't even remember. But I mean, they historically have just drafted QB after QB. And it's like, at some point, you actually have to build the team around the quarterback first. You throw the quarterback out there like you do in, I don't know, let's say the Jets. And Wilson is, of course, going to look terrible because everything around him is garbage.
Sure.
You know, so I hope the Steelers take the time, spend the money, fix their offensive line, get some middle linebackers who can actually tackle. That would be nice. You know, and then wait a year or so on the quarterback. Wait for some of these guys who are actually good right now to be available in the that draft.
Sort of. I have a friend that's a big Steelers fan, and he says part of the problem is Mike Tomlin. Do you agree?
Not 100%. I think some of it is that Mike Tomlin is allowed too much to just be lazy with his assistant coach hiring, and he just keeps being allowed to promote from within. You know, guys like Keith Butler and Matt Canada. Even Clem, the offensive line coach who left for Oregon, for all internals, they weren't, you know, necessarily the best person for the job. And I think that's what hurts. And then, like Dan said, is the QB a bigger issue or the line? I think the offensive line is, to be honest. I think it doesn't matter who your quarterback is if you don't have a good offensive line. Dink and Dunk Ben this year. I don't think anybody was saving that man, but.
Oh, I know the feeling.
But I think an offensive line goes a long way to help that.
Yeah, I think we had like two games with all of our starters in the line, obviously. That's why Baker got hurt.
Well, that and your offensive linemen just aren't very smart. Joe Thomas trying to throw shade at the Steelers got murdered on Twitter for that.
I sent it.
Like, dude, you can't talk about playoff participation trophies if you spent your entire career without ever going to the playoffs. Like, you're not allowed to have that conversation. You have to have more success.
I feel like he's still a part of the organization, though, just because he didn't get there as a player.
And where'd the Browns finish this year? Oh, wait, they didn't make the playoffs this year either.
Didn't we end up with, like, basically the same record?
No.
That was pretty close.
See, we had a winning record. Browns had a losing record.
It's pretty close.
They were similar, but they weren't the same.
Right. It was almost the same.
I mean, you and the Ravens finished with the same record, which warms my heart to see the Ravens in last place. Like, as a Steelers fan, that's always our bigger rival. Ravens have actually been good sometimes.
Right.
Browns, not so much. Still
weird to see the Bengals where they're at.
I mean, the Bengals are, if they can fix that offensive line over the next couple of years, the sky's the limit for them. If they can do that before Burrow's big contract hits. You know, and I think Pat talks about it all the time on his show. You have that young franchise type quarterback on his rookie contract. It makes building a team so much easier. So if they can do some of that around him and then give him one of those contracts like Kansas City gave Mahomes, where they just stretch the money out over the next 15 years, basically.
No, he's got to give him the Bobby Bonilla contract.
You know, Bobby Bonilla got passed for the best deferred money in contract in all of sports, though. I mean, Bonilla's is great. You know, there was somebody talking about it. All of the big contracts given out in baseball over the last couple of years, those guys will be done getting paid before Bonilla collects his last check. But I think Mario Lemieux now takes the bag for best deferred money contract in all of sports. Because he was owed $32 million by the Penguins when he retired. And then when the franchise was about to go bankrupt, he settled for the ownership stake of the team for $20 million. When they just sold the team a couple of weeks ago, that $20 million turned into just short of $400 million.
Okay.
I think that wins best deferred money.
Sure. No, I think like, that...
like Bonilla did well. Mario reset the market.
Yeah. Yeah, that worked out for him.
Yeah. Get to be the hero for saving Pittsburgh and hockey in Pittsburgh and get $400 million for the trouble. Think and he still owns part of the team.
Think about the Fertitta brothers bailing out Dana when, you know, the UFC, that was it 40, they dumped $40 million into it.
Yeah,
and they cashed sold out. It for 4 point something billion or something stupid.
Ridiculous, yes. But again, you take a chance on a sport when it's in its infancy like that. I think you've earned the right to cash in some, at least, you know. Again, there are still issues with fighter pay and health benefits. Want that
$75 pay-per-view.
That's just what happens when you go to a single provider, letting ESPN basically have all of that, right? Yeah. You know, they've got the pay-per-views, the prelims, the contender series. Do they even have Ultimate Fighter when that comes back? God knows who's going to be coaching that. I really thought it was going to be Colby and Masvidal for that, so they could stretch it out.
It would be different if, like, we knew the money was actually going to the fighters, but that's still an issue. It's always been an issue.
Yeah, when they're getting less than 20% of the revenue, it's just like, I don't feel good about this. Right. And I don't feel bad when I, you know, use alternative methods to watch fights. It's like, okay, sorry, I don't mind skimping a few bucks when a billionaire's taking all the cut. Sorry. Right. I don't feel guilty. So you have any thoughts on Cincinnati and Tennessee or San Francisco and Green Bay? Those are the Saturday games.
I feel like I need the Niners to win just everything because of George Kittle.
Fair enough.
And on the other side, I feel like I need the Bills.
Oh, you're talking all the way?
All the way. Like this, I'm going to ride this train all the way out.
I mean, ultimately, I think it's the Bills and the Rams. So Sunday, I think
the Rams. I can't do the Rams because of Odell. I'm just out.
So. And I got the Bills beating Kansas City. I think the Bills are the hottest team in football right now.
Yeah.
You know, they had a perfect offensive game against Bill Belichick, by the way. Last week. It's not like they did it against somebody who doesn't know how to design a defense. But Josh Allen is just such a different dude. Out there. He's what, 6'5", 245, and runs probably a 4'5", 40.
I could catch him.
And then he can chuck the ball 70 yards downfield. He's just like, nah, here, just flick my wrist and throw it clear across the stadium.
Which one? I could bet I could throw a football over those mountains.
Sure, Uncle Rico.
When he throws that stake and hits him in the face, that might be my favorite part of that whole movie.
That movie is in my all-time overrated movie list. I have watched it.
It's still hilarious.
It has its funny moments, but the problem is I didn't see it right away, and then everybody's building it up to be some huge thing. And you see it's like, yeah, it's like it's good, but it ain't that good. Like,
it's so stupid. I think that's why I like it. It's so dumb.
Yeah, I do love some good dumb movies, but that one was just...
Zoolander.
Yeah, I like Zoolander, but
yeah. What is this? A center for ants?
Sometimes you just wonder how they even write some of this stuff. You know, it's like there's
definitely drugs involved.
Like, you clearly did all of the DMT this weekend, didn't you?
Right. Or some acid, some mushrooms, all of it.
I mean, some of them you can see out where they come from. It's like, all right, super bad, pretty classic trope, you know. High school party.
Super Troopers. That's probably my favorite comedy of all time.
I could still watch that any day of the week, any day. It just popped up on Amazon Prime. Is free again. So
second one is super underrated. Will Sasso kills that movie.
Oh, I love that one too. Yeah,
when he does his American accent, it's like the greatest thing I've ever heard. His Canadian one's awesome, but as a Canadian doing an American accent, I don't know how he does it, but it's great.
It's like you're doing an accent on top of an accent.
Wasn't Rob Lowe in that too?
Yes, yeah. He did make a brief appearance.
Oh, good movie.
Those guys make nothing but good movies.
Hell yeah!
I haven't seen the TV show though yet. Yeah.
Oh, my buddy told me to watch that when they were firefighters, but it's just the two of them. It's just Mac and Farva.
Yeah, but I'm still sure it's still good.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Tacoma FD.
There we go. Yeah. I was thinking Tucson FD for some reason. I was like, that's not right.
Yeah.
It's definitely not Tucson. Tacoma. I'll have to get that. I'm sure it's on one of the 19 streaming services
Hulu,
I have.
I feel like.
It's like, it's as bad as cable anymore. It's like, you guys got to cut down on these streaming services. I got this many subscriptions, I'll just get cable again.
Oh, life hack. Today, I found out that apparently Roku has a bunch of live TV channels. You just have to go to your Roku and then find, it's literally like live TV something. And it's like, not your local channels, but almost everything else besides like ESPN is on there.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, found that out handy. Tonight.
That is a handy bit of information.
Yeah, like TNT or whatever, like those kind of weird channels. It's all on there.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, Rams, I just think Stafford has finally shed the playoff curse. I think the pressure is off, so I think he'll play well. And I think Tampa Bay just is missing too much on offense going in against that Rams defense.
You mean Antonio Brown?
Nah, I'm thinking more Chris Goodwin and playoff Lenny, although he may be back this week, but I was still having to go up against Aaron Donald choke slamming dudes in the middle of the field. Not sure. Coming off with Rusty will help.
Friday Night SmackDown.
That is in Nashville this week. Not a big wrestling guy myself. The old Attitude Era, of course. You give me Stone Cold and The Rock.
Stone Cold and The Rock and all those.
D-Generation X. You know, I'll still drop a good suck it on somebody every once in a while.
I should be more a wrestling guy. I'm not either, but like Seth Rollins is from here. I actually did the inspection on his house last year that he moved into.
Nice.
I get to meet him. I met his mom.
Cool.
Actually, still I have met him before, but either way. I'm not into the wrestling anymore. But
I think there's just so much, you know, out there now. Yeah, entertainment wise, it's not like it was when you used to have like, even when you had cable back in the day, it was what 25, 30 channels at most.
Yeah, and now it's like watched. Like MTV, ESPN, like it wasn't a lot.
No, and that's when you still only had one or two ESPNs, not 12. Right.
The Ocho. Dodgeball, also at the top of that list.
Yeah.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. I drink my own urine. Because it's sanitary. I like the way it tastes.
That was a good one. Too early in the season for any other sports for me. Like, I'm just to the point now where I just start to really dial into basketball and hockey.
I've never picked a basketball team, and I keep seeing highlights when I'm at the gym because yes, I actually go to the gym. I keep seeing these highlights for Ja Morant.
Ja Morant is a dude.
Like it's like so basically just the same way that I picked. You know, the Browns, because I was a Baker fan. I was like, I could be a Memphis Grizzlies fan. I was never really a fan of any team. Like, I was a fan of Jordan. You know, obviously, I was a big fan of Reggie Miller. But I wasn't like a Pacers fan. I was just like a Reggie fan. So I've never had a team. So I think I need a team.
And I think basketball lends itself more to being a fan of a guy.
Okay.
You know, because, again, it's a sport.
They do move around a lot.
Well, and it's a sport where one guy can mean that much to a team, you know? You could see it any time LeBron moves, what it does to where he was and where he goes. You know, it's you can see what a guy like Luka Doncic has done for the Mavs in the post-Dirk era. You know, so it is a sport that lends itself to being more of a fan of a guy than a team. Now, growing up 90 minutes outside of Chicago during the heyday of the Bulls, you become a Bulls fan.
Sure.
And it just sticks, unfortunately, because they're awful anymore. I mean, this year they're finally good. I didn't expect DeMar DeRozan to play nearly as well as he did. So that turned out to be a big surprise. I don't think anybody thought he was going to be this guy, especially when the Bulls paid him $30+ million for the next 3 years. Nobody expected that contract, let alone this performance. So hats off to their GM for doing that. But first time in 20 years they've been really competitive, other than like 1 year with Derrick Rose before he blew out every one of his knees three times.
Well, that'll happen.
Yeah, when you run fast and jump high, you have risks there. So it's nice being slow and on the ground all the time. Don't get hurt as much. Nobody talks about those advantages, right?
Unless you slip. But even then, you're not falling as far.
I've never torn an ACL.
I don't think I have either. At least I hope not.
Broken bones, but never torn an ACL.
Yeah.
All right. So you had to go at 9 o'clock your time, which is 10 mine. I believe you said we're right about there. I'm really... really out of things to talk about. Didn't have a draft segment prepared for this time. So no fantasy draft this week. I just couldn't come up with anything, you know, that would fit with your interest in sports. I didn't want to throw out something weird out there and be like, hey, figure this out, Marco. Like,
yeah. No, I'm in a tough spot because I usually do have a vested interest in like a bunch of different things when I was sports, but I just haven't had time. Even towards the end of I stopped giving a shit about the Browns after the Browns lost to the Packers because the next two games, once I realized that Baker was playing against the Steelers, I was more pissed because I just knew at that time he should have just said, look, I know that we can't go anywhere. I should just rest, and he didn't. So I was pissed about that. And then the Cincinnati game was just whatever, you know. So I kind of have taken aside from the Calvin Kattar fight, which we didn't get to.
Oh, well.
That was like the only thing that's happened for me recently in sports that like got me inspired at all. Because that was insane. I got home thinking that I was getting there for the prelims or at least the beginning of the main card. And we sat down and it was the main event right away. And I was like, oh, like we're here. And then it was that fight.
No, I mean, again, so that was, and again, I think a humbling moment for Giga Chikadze, who was, you know, basically saying he should have been next in line for a title fight that whole week. It's like.
Then they sold it that way. And they sold that whole fight, like, leading up, that he was the guy. He was going to easily win this fight.
Now, see, I bet on Calvin Kattar to win. Kattar, I had him by knockout as well, because I remember when Giga fought Brandon Davis. And I like Brandon Davis, but he is a early prelim, short notice guy who's barely hanging on in the UFC. It has already been cut and just came back as a short notice fill-in. And then he's, part of his deal was guaranteed a couple regular fights to try and give him a chance to stick around. But when Giga had a split decision against him, against a guy like Kattar, you're gonna learn some things here. Like,
much this respect is different for both of them.
Different level of competition. That fight was amazing. It made up for not having any fights for 4 weeks. I mean, when you have no UFC, no one, no, I mean, the Rise of New Year's show, I don't count, you know, no Bellator, nothing for 4 weeks. It's like, it's a fight fan's worst nightmare. I'm not supposed to go four.
I haven't seen that many elbows since Carl Parisian, man. That dude, Calvin, I think was throwing those bows like he was in a ludicrous video.
I think his hands hurt so bad from hitting him in the head so much. He's just like,
I know.
You know what? No, we're going to use the elbows. And he's normally an elbow guy anyways. He likes to elbow more
than most people. Whole face up.
But still, the amount of elbows he was throwing and the intent he was throwing them with.
The spin, he was landing like short elbows across the face. He was landing spinning elbows.
He throws a nasty lead elbow too, man. He'll come in from the outside with that thing. Yeah. It's like, you're not supposed to be able to land that from that far away. So now that was a great one again. Yeah, that card, I mistimed it too. You know, you're used to it starting at a certain time, and it's like, oh no, wait, this is the over? I think I caught the fight before. I think I caught the co-main as well. Okay. But it wasn't, you know, as interesting. I think that was just a pretty clean knockout in the heavyweight division. It's usually what you get there. But thanks for joining me. Anybody,
yeah, appreciate you having me.
Make sure you check out the Anomalies podcast. That's where you can usually find Marco. They just had their 100th episode. That was an awesome episode, so give that a listen. A lot of people stop in and visit and pay their tribute for them making it to 100 episodes. If you've never done any podcasting, making 100 episodes is still, you know, it's a big deal.
It's a process, that's for sure.
So congrats to all the guys over there. Check out all the stuff on Iron Ostrich Network. The Anomalies is over there. We had Tone on last week, it was off the rails, all part of that network over there. So check them out. Until next time, peace out, everybody.
Thanks, buddy.